Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:05 p.m. That is Pacific Summer Time. Today is September 21st. Well, we had a sea of red in global stock markets in here today. The majority of indices were down in excess of 1%. Many in Germany, or excuse me, in Europe, were down in excess of 3%. Germany was down 4% plus. And there were a confluence of factors that have been contributing here. I think some of the most important are that when we look at the Federal Reserve statements last week that they are willing to supply additional liquidity, but not quite yet, well, then generally that invites investors to ask then when, and that contributes to some additional volatility. Government bond yields were lower in here today, but again, not by very much. In fact, the MOVE index, which is volatility for government bonds, is still very close to the lows, up a little, but not a lot in here today. And this is from historically extraordinarily low levels. So then when we think about the potential here, then just like in the stock market, peaks are a better indication of lows than lows are of peaks. So when we then think about what we might anticipate, well, eventually volatility is going to pick up, but there is no sign of it yet. Meanwhile, the VIX index has popped on the upside and is now trading right in the region of the 200-day moving average. It did not hold its gain in here today. So the big question tomorrow will it be able to push on the upside, or are we going to see an additional decline in the stock market? The S&P 500 got right down to a 10% pullback and then paired the decline. So investors are answering at least part of the big questions out there. How much of a decline are they willing, is the Federal Reserve willing to tolerate before they really step on the gas again in terms of provision of liquidity? The death of Ruth Bader Ginsburg over the weekend and the competition that sets up for whether the Trump administration should or will introduce a competition to replace her on the Supreme Court is highly political. It reduces the potential that the Republicans and the Democrats will sit down and iron out an additional stimulus package. So that was part of the reason why we had the significant decline in here this morning. Now the question that investors will be thinking about is, can we trust the low? The dollar was off its peak, but not in a big way in here at the close. And the gold price, having been down 40 at one point, in fact more than that, has closed back above the $1,900 area. So it is holding the lower side of this range. But there is still the sequence of lower rally highs. Silver prices were down over $2, and that's a characteristic, really rather large downward dynamic, and it's back testing the lows from early August. So it has now unwound about half of the overextension relative to the trend mean. This continues to look like a first step above the base, but it's still got plenty of room in which to consolidate, and it could yet pull back further. In fact, if it were to hold the lows that were put in today, that would be the best case scenario for silver prices. One thing that I think is particularly relevant is that silver has stopped outperforming gold, and gold popped on the upside today relative to silver. Generally speaking, in gold bull markets, silver lags in the first couple of years and then moves to a position of outperformance for the duration of the bull market. So it started to do that this year. But silver does not outperform gold in a straight line, and it has been due a pause on a relative basis. This does suggest that we are now getting the beginning of that pause, and really a sustained move back above the trend mean would be required to question the potential for silver to outperform gold over the medium term. But in the short term, there's plenty of potential for silver to underperform gold. Platinum prices were also down rather heavily in here today, and finding support in the region of the trend mean and pairing the decline towards the close. So both in the precious metal markets and in stock markets, we have at least some evidence of some, I think, bargain hunting coming in towards the end of the session. I think investors are obviously reticent to continue to push on to new high ground with the mega cap stocks. And when we look at, for example, the significant acceleration that we had in Apple, well, it is being unwound. It's unwound a good share of it now, and it's starting to at least demonstrate some support in the region of the $100 area. So then when we think about the 200-day moving average, it's unwound most of the overextension there. When we think about the 50-day moving average, well, it's at least now beginning to demonstrate some support around this area, but it's going to have to sustain a move back above it in order to suggest that we're still in a momentum-driven environment. If it were to come all the way back to the 200-day moving average, well, that would be rather normal in the context of the history that Apple has put in. One thing that we are also seeing is there's a lot of activity in private markets. So, for example, Microsoft finished in positive territory in here today, and that was following the announcement of its purchase of Bethesda Gaming. So that was a $7 billion purchase. So there is obviously some clear activity among the mega caps deploying some of their cash to pick up attractive assets in the private markets. But then we also had the IPO index was in positive territory in here today, and pushed on to new recovery highs. Now, it's only been higher than this level for 2 days, and that was right at the beginning of September. So this is still a really quite strong bull market overall, and it's one of the small number of indices and instruments that have continued to demonstrate very clear support and rebounds from the 50-day moving average. But I think it's also worth highlighting that when we think about IPOs, well, we're at record highs in terms of the dollar value of IPOs, and this is much higher now than we had back in 1999 and 2000, and we're still only in September. Of course, $1 billion today is not quite the same as what $1 billion was worth back in 1999. So it would be reasonable to anticipate that we're going to see the dollar value of IPOs expand really quite substantially over the course of the next few months and years. The fact that Ant Financial is coming up for an IPO, and that is really the crown jewel of Jack Ma's empire, then that is going to be another big, significant amount of cash being taken from the market, but also it will greatly increase the total value of IPOs this year. But the fact that the ETF is continuing to rise suggests that there is still ample demand for these types of investments. Because when there is no discount rate, and we have government bond yields that are so extraordinarily low, well, then that is creating a lot of demand for private assets and anything that has the potential to generate cash flows in the future. Then we've also got extraordinarily bubbly activity within the private equity sector, because you've got investors that are throwing money at the sector because of the hope that they'll be able to sell to somebody else at a premium in future. And of course, that works for as long as interest rates stay low. So in fact, the biggest question that is overhanging this market isn't really anything to do with the coronavirus or the US presidential election. It's really about inflation and the willingness of central banks to continue to stimulate in I think regardless of what happens to the velocity of money. Velocity of money is not updated all that often, and it's updated with a 3-month lag. So we're really looking at a 6-month delay in terms of how the data is reported. But we do know that economic activity has been picking up, and that means the velocity of money has also been picking up. That's part of the reason why the Federal Reserve and other central banks have been rather reticent to greatly increase the supply of money coming onto their balance sheets. The Fed's balance sheet has gone nowhere since May. Well, if we get additional weakness coming through in the economy, then obviously then that would have an effect on the central bank. The fact that gold prices are consolidating is obviously also another factor that is, I think, taking away from fears about potential inflation. The fact that government bond yields are still very much contained is also taking away from fears about inflation. But of course, we're still in a rather interesting period because there are short, medium, and long-term considerations. In the short term, the U.S. presidential election is difficult to ignore. And one thing we do know is that when the stock market is weak heading into the election, then that is not good for the incumbent. Then there's the additional point that the governance failings that have marred the recovery from the 2008 crisis, and particularly the fact that companies were bailed out and individuals were not. That has contributed to the rise of populism. It's also contributed to the impatience of people to deal with, to endure any form of austerity in regard to, in response to any kind of economic contraction. So we are definitely in a new period of modern monetary theory where there will be printing of money. And that obviously then represents a challenge for the next administration, regardless of who is in charge, because there are extraordinary debts that need to be dealt with. And regardless of who wins the election, then they are going to have to contend with how to fund a reflationary trade. So that's obviously going to be something that we need to look at going forward into the medium term. But in the long term, this question of deficits and the overall question of how we can get recovery from the pandemic, and will the pandemic clearly have demonstrated over time that all it really was is an accelerant? Because the retail apocalypse was well underway, and it's going to make it worse. And there will be a lot of businesses that don't open up again, even following the end of the virus. We know that there probably will be vaccines available in October, and that then we will also have some, I guess, pauses in terms of the rollout. But as soon as the rollout begins, then that is likely to be beneficial for sentiment. When we think about the biotech sector, then it has at least found near-term support above the trend mean in here today. So that's positive at the very least. When we look at the DAX in Germany, it was the leading decliner in here today. And part of the reason for that is not only because of the rebound in the dollar and some risk getting taken off the table, but also because the banking sector is in question again. Banks right across Europe were in negative territory and pushing down into the range, the underlying range in Europe. In the UK, because of HSBC's exposure to China, then the whole index is breaking down to new lows. Even companies that have got no exposure to any country outside of the UK, like Lloyd's, were breaking down to new lows. So this is weighing on Europe that they have not quite got control of the outbreak of the virus yet. I've been rather adamant since March that there wasn't going to be a second wave, and we are going to see in the next few weeks whether I was correct. I do think that it is more likely than not that the reason we're seeing cases rising now in Europe is because of the holiday season from August has only just ended, and it takes about 2 weeks for cases to appear. So we're 3 weeks from the end of August now, and we've seen cases rising. Europe has got a number of significant geographical areas that are wholly dependent on tourist revenue. They can't do without their summer season, so they had to reopen. And that obviously acted as a catalyst for greater spreading of the virus. Well, the tourist season is now coming to a close, so if that supposition is correct, then we should not see that the increase in cases carry through into October. But of course, that is still a supposition. And the other point is then, is the number of cases a lead indicator for the number of deaths? It was certainly very correlated at the beginning of this outbreak because the majority of people being tested were old, and they were most likely to die as a result of the exposure. But now we've got much more testing of more age groups, so the correlation should be weaker. So we may not yet see an additional wave, even though we're going to see sporadic increases in the number of cases around the world. But we're probably going to know the answer to that question in probably the next 3 weeks. But that will probably then also correlate with the release of data from the phase 3 trials from, I think, Moderna or Pfizer, one or the other. When we then think about the Chinese market, well, China overflew part of Taiwan's territory over the weekend. That didn't have much of an effect on the stock market. In fact, it was down much less than other markets, particularly in Europe. When we think about the A-share index in China, then it was in negative territory, but certainly not anywhere close to as much as it was up on Friday. So it is still holding the lower side of its range. The Nifty index in India was also in negative territory. We had the downside key reversal at the beginning of September, and that suggested that we are back in a period of consolidation. So far, it is holding the move above the trend mean, and it has room in which to consolidate. The big question, of course, is going to be about the dollar. If the dollar continues to weaken from where it is right now, well, then that's likely to be highly beneficial for emerging markets. But we haven't really got evidence of that just yet. With some risk getting taken off the table, that generally means the dollar should rally, and it is a bit oversold in the short term. So it might be a little early yet to really get very enthusiastic about emerging markets, because there is the potential that the dollar can steady from here. We're still in a corrective phase overall for stock markets. There's a lot of uncertainty in the short term as we head into the US presidential election. And once that is out of the way, it will remove some uncertainty from the market and likely contribute to as a bullish catalyst for the wider market overall, because whoever is the controlling the next administration in the USA is likely to engage in a really significant reflationary movement, and that is going to require a great deal of spending. So I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.